to the club because you're that kind of nerd.
Welcome, listeners, to your exclusive Patreon recording of X-Men Stupid Phoenix Movie. We are here to discuss it with and for you, and you will get all of our opinions that are varied and not really varied.
I was going to say, this isn't varied at all, and I think you're putting it right on Front Street.
All
of our thoughts are out. Thank you, Josh.
I'm not going to bury the lead. Brian and CJ hated this movie, and I thought it was very entertaining.
Thank you for making us your walk around the neighborhood and driving to work. All right, bye. Fun fact, when I went to go see this movie, I just randomly went to go see it one day. Just randomly went to the theater by myself because my wife, thank you, would not join me because she already saw the movie previously with her family and she didn't want to go again. And I'm sitting there in the theater, and then again, I just hear down from the bellows, is that fucking CJ?
So here's, wait. Here's how this happened.
Please.
We walked into the theater, like we turned the corner because, you know, you walk the long way around and you turn the corner to go up to your seats there. And Christian goes, wow, there's really nobody here. I said, except fucking CJ right there.
So there I am, just minding my own business with my popcorn and my grape Sprite. Yeah, I drink grape Sprite when I'm at the movies now. And then there's Josh and Christian.
You're gross.
And I was like, well, okay. Remember, our theater is assigned seating, and it's IMAX.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm just like, listen, I'm not going to fuck with the seating arrangements right now, but hey, how are you? Salutations and hello. And then the preview started, and I realized that no one...
because what if it's a sold-out show?
Well, no one's coming. And I'm
no
just
one's
like,
coming. No.
I'm really gonna
I just turn
go
around, I'm like,
burns.
Look, I know you're in the middle of the theater and all,
seats.
But like, if you want to join us...
I was like, yep, that's fine. I'll do that. I don't really care about my seats for this movie. So I came down, and I watched it with the Burns... the Burns gentleman, and I had a good time, and I know I know that Josh knew what the hell I was going to be doing right during this movie, which was
right.
I'm just going to talk to her in this entire fucking movie.
So I made Christian switch seats. Like I'm normally on the aisle there,
right?
And I'm like, oh no, CJ's going to talk this whole time.
Christian movie.
Let's move. Let's switch.
did Christian get your witty references to outdated material?
Christian was loving life, dude. Are you kidding me?
We were both just.
Yeah, they were leaning over me, talking and making fun of the movie, and I'm sitting here like, man, I kind of like it. I don't know.
So yes, many good time was had. So that was my positive experience with X-Men: Dark Phoenix. But I like to just get some first impressions leaving the theater.
Dark Phoenix, not Stupid Phoenix. Sorry.
Right. Yes.
I misquoted that in the beginning there.
But Josh, let's start with you.
So I think I conveyed to you, and I know I said to Brian that I was actually very entertained. I thought it was a good movie. My initial and only problem, mm-hmm. which I said to you in the theater, CJ, was wait. So Michael, this is 1992. Michael, is Michael Fassbender supposed to be 61 here? What? Yeah. They screwed that one up. So,
X-Men and their timelines.
I liked the movie, but I do not like what this crew has done with the timeline at all. Period. Full stop.
Normally, when I'm in a movie like this where I'm really not enjoying it and I'm not into the movie, I can at least look up at the screen and say, well, everybody's giving their best. At least, like, everyone's giving it their all. And then you just look at Jennifer Lawrence, who's clearly just like, I don't want to be here. Put me in as little makeup as possible. You get me for a few weeks and I'm...
Kill me in the first 15 minutes. I'll be good.
Get me the fuck out of here. Jessica Chastain, who clearly was just like, oh, I signed up for this one movie thinking it would be something else, and it's not. And then, I mean, Nicholas Holt just really trying. God, he is going for it, but it's just not going anywhere. I did not like the movie. I thought it was garbage. It didn't make sense to me. I have problems with it, but...
Oh, garbage is strong. I didn't think it was garbage.
It was hard to watch.
And also, Jessica Chastain, she's no Bryce Dallas Howard. Let's be clear.
Okay. Brian?
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
First, Jessica Chastain is no... is no Bryce Dallas Howard. Can I get a weigh in on that?
No, I really don't. I like Jessica Chastain.
I like Jessica Chastain.
I like Bryce Dallas Howard.
I think they're both fine. There's no need to put them in competition.
Yeah, seriously.
I know they're constantly confused for one another, but there's no need.
All redheads are compared to each other.
Well, Sophie Turner, then. I'm just kidding.
Throw Amy Adams in there as well.
That's true. Anyway. So, yes, Brian, you were just watching X3. I mean.
Yeah, no. I was just watching X-Men Dark Phoenix. I mean, X-Men Last Stand. It was bad. It was really bad.
X3.
I mean, the only movie that was worse than this one was X-Men The Last Stand.
Which
I don't know how this guy got a second chance.
Yes.
You realize this is the same guy who wrote X-Men The Last Stand.
The writer of X-Men Last Stand not only got to rewrite this movie, he directed it too. He directed Dark Phoenix.
What the hell is Fox thinking? What's our most hated X-Men movie? Oh, X-Men The Last Stand. Oh, okay, yeah. You want to give that guy another shot? Well, sure, maybe. No, hey, you want to give him more responsibility? Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. I'm sure he'll get it right this time.
The thing, too, with this movie,
fucking I like morons. Less better than Spider-Man 3.
I will not go that far.
I'll go that far for sure. I thought.
I'll be honest. I haven't seen Spider-Man 3 in so long. I can't.
I really think Spider-Man 3 is better than like at least 4 of those X-Men movies.
Oh, man, this is rough.
And I'm not a huge fan of Spider-Man 3.
You're going far. I mean, I think it's your allegiance.
No, I can
Peter
honestly.
Parker. That's the problem. Here.
I can honestly and truthfully rank Spider-Man 3 ahead of a lot of Marvel.
Cannot divorce yourself
movies.
From your love from Peter.
Here's,
Parker.
Here's my problem.
That's not true.
It's the Topher Grace Venom, which I don't. I get people can justify it, but it just didn't work at the
Sandman.
Time.
Sandman was awful.
Sandman was not awful. I liked Sandman.
Was
he was the
Sandman
redeeming
was
part
Sandman
of that
was
movie.
Like the highlight.
Yes.
Of
that
movie.
No, Sandman was the redeeming factor of that movie.
Anyway, first off, there's at least like 10 Marvel movies I could put below Spider-Man 3.
Yes.
That I can tell you that.
Out of 22,
honestly.
There are
not,
10.
Not
I
not
need Marvel, I need you to
not,
refer back to the tape because
not,
we just
no,
did
no, no, no,
can,
no, no.
Can
not
I finish?
MCU
can I finish?
Movies.
Not MCU movies.
Marvel movies.
Oh.
Yes.
Spider-Man 3 is better than the newest Fantastic Four. It's better than
That's
both
not,
Ghost
are
Riders.
Are those Marvel movies?
They are
Marvel movie,
properties.
Yeah.
It's better than both Ghost Riders. It's better than the Ang Lee Hulk.
Ghost Rider, I forgot about Ghost
Rider.
It's better than Daredevil.
You're scratching at the door.
And it's definitely better than Elektra. It's better than X-Men Apocalypse. It's better than X-Men Dark Phoenix.
All right.
I'm up to 8.
All right. Let's put some reins back on this thing.
No, because now this has become a Spider-Man spoiler cast.
this conversation is fast becoming a confrontation.
Let's just turn this into Far From Home. All right. Let's turn this into Far From Home.
Let's continue to talk about this piece of shit.
So let's talk a little bit about the elephant in the room for this movie. All right. And that this is Fox's last X-Men movie, with the exception of. What is it called? New Mutants, which who knows if that movie's
it's
ever coming
happen.
Out, right?
It's never going to happen.
However, this movie was being filmed, it was written, and it was at least, you know, in principle photography when Fox was not owned by Disney. It was imminent, but it wasn't official yet. So, like, there could have been a chance that the deal fell through and they may could have continued with this. But when it became apparent that this movie was going to be their last movie, that Disney was going to take over, they did some rewrites. They took the third act of the movie and just threw it out because apparently it was too close to Captain Marvel.
And it shows.
And it really does show. You can see some of the rewrite times. It's rough. I mean,
I consider the whole like last 45 minutes just ad lib. I think it's an exercise in improv
with sets.
I think you're being like so super overcritical.
No, I think I'm being just as critical of any other superhero movie or movie in general.
We're going to go back to that conversation, Brian, where I said to you, you can't hold this up to Marvel movie standards.
I'm not. I am holding it up to 12 other X-Men
movies. I was going to say, in the pantheon of X-Men movies, this is
It is bottom third at the best.
Yeah, this is a
bottom third.
This could be interchanged between the worst, third. The worst, or the second worst movie.
I would say I would give it third worst. I think Last Stand, and I think it's middle of the pack.
I think it's middle of the pack. Like at worst, I think it's middle of the pack.
If it was, hey, you have the opportunity to watch this Dark Phoenix or X-Men. Origins Wolverine, what do you want to watch? I'd be like,
Dark Phoenix? Give me Dark Phoenix. I mean, that's easy.
Yeah.
Origins Wolverine is the worst fucking movie ever. Like, I think we were pretty clear about that.
Last Stand, I think, is worse than next. Regardless.
I'll watch Last Stand before I watch Origins.
All right.
I think Brian and I, like, I also put Logan in the middle of the pack, which I did not like to do. But I have Dark Phoenix somewhere in that realm.
So here's my question.
X2.
Where did this movie go wrong for everybody? When was the moment where you were watching this film and just went, oh, okay. That's
the timeline. The timeline is my real and true problem. Like, it makes no fucking sense. And not only that, but like, we had this conversation before about the true origin of, and since this is a Patreon exclusive, I don't give a shit. I'm going to get a little granular here. X-Men number one, right, was mm-hmm. Professor X, Iceman, Beast, Cyclops, and Jean joined on page three.
Yeah.
of the first book, the very first one.
Right.
So like, they were original X-Men. I don't like the departure from the story. I never have. I've been a very staunch critic about that. But then when you have First Class, which was a great, great movie,
happened
in 1962, and then 30 years later, these people haven't aged at all. Like, you can explain Mystique away. Fine. She doesn't age like the rest. Right. Or if she did, she could just mask it. Right. But like, for Magneto essentially to be the same age as he was in 62 and the same thing for Professor X, except, you know, without the hair, like they didn't age at all. And that's a problem. Like, it's just poor. It's poor writing. It's poor casting. If you were going to advance them 30 years, then we should have been back to the Patrick Stewart, Ian McKellen timeline.
Right.
And it, bullshit. I can't accept it.
For me, it went off the rails really early, and it was a stupid detail. But at the same time, I was just like, we're not obviously not trying. Fine, fuck it. We're just not trying. It's when they're in space and they're going to save the astronauts in this movie, and you've got Mystique, Cyclops, Beast, Storm, Jean, Quicksilver, Nightcrawler. Okay, they're going to save astronauts who are wearing protective suits, right? Full head to toe spacesuits. The whole other spacecraft is exposed to space, and they're popping in and out of this freaking space vehicle, right? The space station, the space shuttle, wearing nothing but leather jackets and like jeans. And I'm sitting there going, why? How does this work? How are you able to? Okay, so we just don't give a shit. Okay, fine. I guess this is the movie I'm watching now, because it was all downhill from there, where the attention to detail and the care into consistency within their powers and their morals just went right off the rails. And I was like, yeah. I'm out. I'm okay. All right. I guess it's the movie we're in. Let's buckle up, guys. Let's make this happen. But it's just a dumb detail where all you had to do is put a helmet on him. Like, at least a helmet. I would have been okay.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think Nightcrawler did have a helmet, but none of the others did.
No, but he was still no gloves. Just wearing his leather jacket.
Nightcrawler, just he pops in and out, dude. He doesn't need
it. He can survive for a couple. He can survive a couple seconds in the vacuum of space. Just don't open your eyes. Oh wait, he did. So whatever.
He has to look where he's going.
Right, exactly. So there goes your eyes. And
it's
your
kind of the whole point of his power set.
Yep. Brian, I mean, for you, where did this movie jump the shark? Where did this movie just fall off the cliff for you?
When I purchased my ticket for X-Men Dark Phoenix.
That's mean.
Right on.
Guys, come on. I called this.
Oh, yes.
From the moment this trailer dropped, I called this.
Yes,
movie
you've been shitting on this forever. Yes.
Well, here's
so
the thing.
I had no illusions that this was going to be even remotely good.
My other thing, too, was
it had one decent fight scene, one decent action scene in it. And that's it.
My other thing was the death of Mystique was supposed to be like this catalyst to bring these people together. It was supposed to be such a...
No, it's what tore them apart.
Yeah, right, but that's what I'm saying.
It turned into X-Men Civil War.
It's certainly... it's exactly right. It wasn't... I don't think it was supposed to bring them together. I think it was supposed to illustrate how separate they actually are.
I'm really, 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 really sick of not just this movie, but other movies and comic book storylines. I'm really sick of these storylines that paint Professor X as some maniacal villain who is keeping things from his students when that was never supposed to be the character. They did it in X3. He somehow, because we got the same fucking writer for some reason, decided it was the best part of X3, so we're going to do it again. And guess what? Professor X is an evil person who kept all of this from Jean. Like, that's a terrible storyline. Because then your main protagonist for the past three movies now becomes your villain. And you don't know why. You don't know how you got there. There's no motivation. It's not like a misunderstanding. He purposely blocked certain memories from her mind.
Right.
Uh-huh.
That's not the character. At least not the character that she set up for the past three movies.
It's the same thing he did in the comic books. He suppressed the worst parts of her.
Right, but in the
he didn't do that in the comic.
He absolutely suppressed the worst parts of her to bring out the best of her. And that was
with her consent, and that was during the Dark Phoenix saga.
That is different. I understand what it was. I fucking read the books. What I'm saying is it's no different than what he did in the books. It's just they omitted the consent part.
Well, that's a big detail.
I don't think it's that big a leap to say.
It's actually the whole crux of this movie. The whole crux of this movie is you
it's
did this to me.
The whole moral.
I can't believe this. You
movie.
Lied. You didn't tell me.
It was the same thing as X3. It's no different than X3.
That's kind and of I our problem. With, that's kind too. Of our problem with it. Yeah.
I'm just
that's,
saying, that's kind it, of my like, point. It's the same story, and I get what you're saying, but like.
Well, the other thing too is even the relationship that she had with Scott wasn't even fully developed and didn't seem to really like it didn't really seem to matter.
Yeah, you're actually
really
you're right about that. That's actually a really good point. Like
I'm
it
so
didn't seem like they had
Scott
a relationship
getting this
at all.
Short stick.
Yeah, no, seriously. Yeah, hold on. I do want to talk about this. It really didn't seem like Scott and Jean had a relationship at all.
It didn't seem like Scott was like a part of the movie.
No.
Like
they keep screwing him over.
Very very
and all of his X-Men
and
movies.
And again, going back to what I said originally, like he was one of the first X-Men.
Yes.
Like, Cyclops deserves at least a little respect, but it seemed like, you know, the only guys that got it were, like, Beast, you know, Nightcrawler got an undeserved amount of respect, Mystique until she died, and then obviously the whole movie's focused on Jean, but...
Unfortunately, the only part of this movie that I really enjoyed, that I really could just sit back and be like, yeah, I don't really care what's happening right now, with the exception of one little detail, was the train scene, which was, we all looked in the trailer, and well, Mystique's not there, and going, oh, well, this looks pretty cool, ripping, I mean, she's taking the train right off the tracks, we're getting a lot of things going on.
I enjoyed the Dazzler cameo.
Yeah, that was fun.
Brian, the train thing was right out of the Dark Phoenix saga, right?
I don't believe so.
All right, I thought it was. I thought I recalled a panel of.
There's been I'm sure they've done it before, but I don't think in that.
I remember turning to Josh during that scene, just going, "They're making these teenagers very big murderers. There's a lot of murder.
Oh yeah, they don't care. They are what 17 with a license to kill.
Yeah, wow."
They don't even have an actual license. They just kill people.
Just good to go. I'm still... All right, so let's talk about Jessica Chastain and her alien race that came to Earth.
What alien race?
What was it? I'm so confused. What the hell was
so
it?
Dumb.
What were they?
So dumb. The placement of that character was ridiculous.
But this is my problem with the movie as a whole. There is no explanation as to what her alien race is,
nope, right.
Why they're doing what they're doing,
yep, right.
Why does she want the Phoenix Force?
Yep.
They very much allude to the fact that the Phoenix Force destroyed their planet.
But what are they going to do with it? Are they going to weaponize
gonna
it?
It?
Are they going to save
it? What is your end game, right. Jessica? What is your end game?
How does she hope to harness it, right? Because
right.
She
hopes
she never
to be possessed
said, she
by
never
it.
Said a thing to Jean about like leaving or you know going somewhere. She was just like, oh, you should use it. What?
And then she wants it, I guess? She wants, because it's
Jean. Yeah, but she can't get it.
So hold on.
She also makes a point of telling Jean that she should have died.
Yes.
So why would she want it if she knows she's going to die?
The whole...
It makes no sense.
The whole character was useless.
And they start off with her coming into, like, that little out... that cabin out in the woods. And they're just murdering everybody in there. And you're just like, okay, bad guy, cool. But then you're just like, but I don't know why you're bad. I don't know why you're bad. Why are you bad? Just because you're bad?
Are you bad? All right. Is there any purpose or reason or rhyme to your actions?
But we don't know. The problem with the movie. There's no plot. It's just things happening.
People just do things.
Yes.
People just do things. We give Jean the Dark Phoenix, and then now she just does
stuff. Same thing with Magneto.
People are scared of her. There is no plot. There is no character development except for shitty character development.
They're like, oh, wait, it worked. It worked for the Joker.
Right. Okay.
So it should work here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, just copy paste
no.
that.
No.
I remember one distinct moment where I turned to Josh and I couldn't believe what was happening in front of me. They find Magneto on that island that they were given.
Genosha.
Right.
That was supposed to be Genosha.
Oh, okay. Is that what it was supposed to be? But I'm sitting there going, in all of these movies, if you were to pick one character to start a little mutant hippie commune, would Magneto be the one that you would choose
to
be roughing it in the middle of the ocean in like a converted trailer, like a converted cargo freight box for a home?
He built a place with Lincoln logs instead of metal. What?
Yeah. I'm like, why is he a hippie commune? This makes no sense to me. And then he leaned over to me, and that's when he was like, he's also
because
like 30 years younger than he should be.
Because they needed him in the story. The past three movies with Magneto have been, hey, how can we get Magneto in here?
Right.
We like Michael Fassbender. How can we write Magneto into this movie? Like,
I'm sorry, but he was probably just like, listen, I know that Jen.
They just keep.
I know Lawrence
him.
Got out in the first like 20. Can you get me in until like the last 40? And then this way I don't have to do a whole lot of other stuff.
There
please.
Are so many other stories and other villains in the X-Men universe
yep.
that you could tap.
Yep.
That they haven't even touched.
Nope.
They keep on forcing Magneto in. And Magneto is a great character when done correctly. And in First Class, he was done great. And Ian McKellen did him very well. And then, like, now it's just time to stop. Like, so he did not. There's no role for him in this movie.
Here's something I have. And I'm curious to just get your darn perspective on what I'm about to read. I want to read to you. I want to get your darn perspective. This is the plot summary that I found for this movie. Just someone tell me if we hit the mark. The X-Men, protectors of peace. Jean Grey is one of the most beloved X-Men, but when a mission goes wrong, Jean is exposed to a dark agent power. The power has destroyed everything it's come in contact with until her. Now this power is becoming unstable. She releases it with destruction and anger. Now this foreign power is consuming her and the world is threatened. The X-Men have to face an important truth. They must either save the world or their friend who threatens it.
What are you asking?
Is that what this movie was about?
No.
I mean, no, I know, but like
and they made okay. So they're making the X-Men popular, right? They had a bunch of admirers, right? When they were like going to go on the space shuttle mission, when they came back, Professor Xavier apparently
right,
was
working
a,
with the government.
Right.
He's on here's, magazine
here,
covers.
Look here. So here's
Xavier
my
was
thing,
an,
right?
an attention
they,
whore, which made no sense.
Obviously,
to me.
We've had Magneto in almost every movie. Yeah. We've seen Apocalypse, Dark Phoenix, blah blah blah. We've never seen Mr. Sinister. Even though we have seen the Juggernaut, it was really more prevalent in Deadpool
yes.
than anywhere else, right? We haven't seen the Sentinels. Emma Frost was kind of badly done.
We saw the Sentinels in Days of Future Past.
Yes,
we did. That was the main villain.
Kinda. Like, we saw Sebastian Shaw. We saw Stryker. We kind of saw Lady Deathstrike. And we kind of saw Pyro. But there's a lot, like, you know, there's a lot out there that we have, like the Marauders we haven't seen. You know, mm-hmm. we've never seen Silver Samurai or Sauron or
yep, nothing with the Savage Land, nothing
right.
with the Morlocks.
No Mastermind, no Dark Beast. Yep. We saw Azazel, but like he was kind of shit too. So like,
yeah.
And also Scarlet Witch played a really big part as a villain in the X-Men universe, and we never saw that. So like,
what I guess we're
Brian's point is absolutely 100%. Oh, and also Holocaust. Holocaust. Like what a missed opportunity that is. Right? Or Avalanche or Bastion, like, or Vulcan. Like look, I can draw from a million books I read as a kid and think like there'd be about, you know, 15 different ways we could do this better if like they would just let me and Brian do it.
There you go. Again, hire Brian for movies.
And Josh, yeah, I'll just sign on as like an EP. Yeah, like, yeah. I don't even really need much credit. I'll just be there.
Consultant by Josh Burns.
Yeah.
Get craft services and, you know, meet the
person. I'll eat the food on set. It'll be fine.
Maybe get a thanks at the end. Was there any redeeming thing? Was there anything in this movie, though, that you were like, at least you did that right? If at least you're going to fuck up everything.
I thought Sophie Turner was the right casting.
I've always thought mm-hmm. Sophie Turner was the right casting. She's just in two shit movies.
And I like the fighting stuff that they did with Nightcrawler in the train. I thought he was a really good fighter.
I mean, I could have done. There could have been
better.
It
reminded me of the White House scene. And was it X2?
Yes.
Right. It reminded me of that scene, which was awesome.
Was a shit scene.
No, it wasn't.
You're way off base with all of your thoughts on X2, so can we not discuss that, please?
You're saying I'm way off base with all my thoughts of X2?
Yes.
You're out of your fucking mind.
X2 is one of the best X-Men movies.
You're out of your goddamn mind.
I am not X-Men.
That's crazy talk. It's I can't
90% of America agrees
with
you.
I can't even with you right now.
A good movie. Okay, so obviously we like
the
Sophie
Dazzler
Turner.
Scene was awesome. That's what I'm bringing to the table. I enjoyed Dazzler. Finally seeing Dazzler. And you know, you would think I would see Dazzler in the one that took place in the 70s, but no. I waited till the 90s.
Wasn't that supposed to be Taylor Swift? Thank God it wasn't. But
I don't freaking know. I didn't know.
She's the music artist, right? She had the record?
Who?
Am I thinking of somebody?
We're talking about Dazzler or Taylor Swift?
Dazzler.
Dazzler is a musician.
Right.
Yes.
That was supposed to be Taylor Swift. It's not, but it's supposed to be Taylor Swift.
She's like she converted.
She converts sound waves into light.
To like energy, to like
it's
light
like,
and energy.
It's like Jubilee, but she sings, you know?
Jubilee is different.
Not like Jubilee.
Jubilee literally has like fireworks that come out of her fingers.
She's more like Siren, right?
But she's converting the sound waves into like light.
Right.
But yeah.
But in that way, yeah. And sure. And you're right.
That's why she's a musician.
But you didn't see, like, Dazzler was, like, early 80s, right?
She was introduced in the 70s, in the age of disco.
Was she?
Yeah.
I thought she was, like,
why I'm saying she should have been in the one that took place in the 70s, during the age of disco.
Yeah, I mean, Disco Dazzler was her, like, one of her aliases, but she was a Romita. A John Romita thing. I thought that was the 80s. All right.
No, Romita was
doing work. I defer to you.
Yeah, no. Romita was doing work in the 70s. Anywho,
listen,
my point is.
Bottom line, I honestly think we're really at the end of the conversation. This movie really fell flat for a lot of things.
You're just done. You're just done with us talking now, CJ?
Yeah, seriously.
I mean,
I've had my fill. That's great.
Are we not just circling the same?
I don't know what the listeners want to hear. We're just talking here.
All right.
Here's you cutting us off.
I mean, if you want to watch a better version
fucking
of this
welcome
story,
back, CJ.
Carry on. Proceed. Got Chlorophyll Man up there tied up by God knows what. All I hear from you is making out.
Borophyll, am I right?
Jeez. I don't know how this turned into Billy Madison.
I got to say, you got a fucking dog. You got a responsibility. You get out there and you find that fucking dog. I mean, if we're going to quote Billy Madison, let's quote Billy Madison. I still think it was the 80s.
I got to go take
it. I'm looking it up. Hold on.
What, when Dazzler got introduced?
February 1983. I was right.
Give me a second. I got to go take a Dark Phoenix. I'll be right back. But you guys can continue to discuss.
That's terrible.
1980? She first appeared in Uncanny X-Men 130.
Was it 80?
February 1980.
I see what I'm seeing.
She was still heavily influenced by disco.
Uncanny X-Men 130, February 1980. Okay, yeah. I see it. But she was a John Romita creation.
Yes. She looks like one at least. Hang on. I can tell you for sure. Created by Tom DeFalco and John Romita Jr.
There you go.
Junior, not senior.
I'm not that far off. What's the difference between junior and senior? They're both fucking amazing artists, right?
No, yeah, no, they are. I'm just saying two different people.
Well, yeah, I'm not my father. You're not.
Listen, I normally also like to, you know, just kind of look around and see if we can find any second opinions on the movie that are opposite of what we feel. And I went and I found the highest ranking I could find, right, for it. It was Entertainment Weekly. They gave it a 75, okay?
Out of, well, like, 10,000?
Out of 100. Gave it a 75.
That's 7.5 out of 10.
That's a C.
If you're in public school, sure.
Right, and exactly.
And, yeah.
In Catholic school.
Most people are in public school.
Yep.
Because it's public.
And this is the one-liner that I got from it, right? The one sentence. For what is being called a final installment, it all tends to feel both anticlimactic and a little grim in the end. That was a positive review.
That's a 7.5?
That's a 7.5.
This movie is anticlimactic, so you get 7.5 out of 10.
And a little grim.
I really think they need to reevaluate the one that was a
63, okay? 63.
You know what? I want to meet that person, right? And there's right. Two things. I want to say, hey, what's your basis for this? And when they start to explain, I want to spin them around and I'm going to hoof them in the nuts from behind.
Right. Here's another one I had. This was a 63, okay, from IGN. Dark Phoenix is ultimately yet another fumbled take on a classic saga of the Marvel comics, albeit one without the side plots of The Last Stand. Add to it a jittery and uneven later half. With some underdeveloped cosmic villains, the Dark Phoenix is unfortunately another bad take on a ended series that went down in flames.
But still gets a 6.3 out of 10?
Yep.
No. So, no. So if I'm rating this movie, it's like a solid 3.7.
That's where I'm at. It's funny you say that. I have a 3.8. Right, just for some reference. This film is an all too fitting whimper of a conclusion to a franchise that was never remotely fulfilled its potential.
It's like the same thing the last guy said that gave it a 6.3.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I don't get it.
All right, I need you to
I
stop.
Think what we're
I
really
need you to
learning
stop listening
here,
to these idiots.
I think what we're learning here is that movie criticism is objective.
Subjective.
And the points do not matter.
Not objective at all.
No.
Subject.
Who wants to guess at some of the taglines for this movie? It's a pretty easy one. Come on.
You don't know her power.
No.
Her power is unreal.
No.
She has all the power.
No. Ryan?
Power, 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 power.
Prepare for a dumpster fire? I don't know.
All right. The obvious one is the Phoenix will rise. Right?
Okay.
The obvious one is prepare for a dumpster
fire. The Phoenix will rise, the X-Men will fall. That's pretty apt, actually. Every hero has a dark side, and the X-Men's final battle will be their greatest.
Nothing about power. Bullshit.
Because
the whole movie was about this power.
Josh, would you recommend this movie?
Yeah, it's an X-Men movie. Yeah, you should see it. Everyone should see it once. It was better than Origins. It was better than The Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a watch.
Ryan, would you recommend this movie?
That's a loaded question. That really depends. Am I talking to somebody like me or am I talking to Joe Schmo off the street?
Let's say this. Let's make our answer for Joe Schmo's off the street. People who don't have the obligation to go see this movie.
All right, Joe Schmo off the street, save your $10 in two hours. You don't need to see this movie.
Unless you're
a fan of the X-Men, then
well,
go see
then,
this.
Just answer the goddamn question.
No, no, no,
I just did.
You did with my caveat. I'll say this. Listen, regardless of fan of X-Men, not a fan of X-Men, if you are going to see this movie, make sure it's in a way that's free. All right. If it's on Netflix, if it's on HBO, don't pay for it. But if you really want to see this movie, just fine. But don't pay for it. It's my opinion.
Yeah, I didn't pay for it.
Good. Right.
No, I didn't either, yeah. Technically.
We all feel good we didn't pay for it. All right, listen, I'm sorry this one was a little grim, but so was the movie. But the good news is you guys, patrons, didn't get to vote for the next movie that we're going to see because it's Spider-Man Far From Home. And yes, this is going to be great. We've all seen it, actually. We will give you the customary 2 weeks, and then we will drop this episode. Thank you again so much for your continued support of this show. It means the world to us. I'm glad that we could see this movie, so hopefully you didn't have to. And if you choose to, again, just do it in a way that's free. Thank you so much for making us your abbreviated walk around your neighborhood or your drive to work, and we will see you on the next episode.
Well, welcome to the club, because you are that kind of nerd.